Okay, good evening, everybody. Everybody, I apologize. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to give the shir, but I am getting over a little bit of a cold. So if I cough here and there, just part of the music. So last week, we discussed, as I mentioned, it was a little bit of a stronger class, simply because of the content, which is standing in front of the King, in front of Hashem, the expectation, the responsibility, the opportunity is extraordinarily great. And just like the standard of care in front of a human king is higher, halachas kama kama, how much more so it is in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We discussed the severity, chas v'shalom, if a person doesn't stand up to that. So it says, the next chapters are called Hilchas Shabbos. The Mishneh Berurah, we actually did this Hakdama many moons ago. I did this, I believe I even have it on Think Torah. Has to be, 10, 15 years ago in San Jose. And I recorded it because I was going to do something in Hilchas Shabbos, and I wanted to do the Hakdama. So in that Hakdama, in that introduction to the laws of Shabbos, the Chelek Gimel, Rabbeinu Tumim was the great Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz was one of the greatest early 18th century, sages of Voltoina, previously of Prague. And Hayed Beno Hagoyin, Baal Ored to his son, writes in the Yaris Tvas, Ki Efshar, it's impossible, when the name is Father, B'metzias, it is unfeasible, impossible, not no geya. She the Anatzom is her Shabbos, to be spared, not to desecrate the Shabbos, Imlo Yomud, Kol Hadinim, Oburium, Hativ, unless a person takes the time to learn the halachas, well, they're going to break Shabbos out of ignorance. We don't know Hilchas Shabbos, you're going to break Hilchas Shabbos. Umashma, and we see from this, Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, Dibishar mitzvah Torah, other mitzvahs, Yitachan, it's possible, Lehinatzom la'avra aleihem, to be spared from transgressing them, just through osmosis, through being yeshiva, through going up in a house where they keep Torah, mashim chunech v'shomea, you hear it, you're around it, you see it. Ve'ich, you know what, how to be careful. Hilchas Shabbos, right? You don't learn the laws of davening, basic Knesset, but you daven and shul, you pick it up, and people tell you things. You never really learned it, but you learn enough, you hear the rabbi say things in there and there. You can get it, you know, possible and cautious. You never open the book, but you have no meat and milk, no certain fishes, what hechsherim to buy, and you pick it up. For Shabbos, you got to study, he says. Chayav dafka lam neitiv. You got to study, you got to say, well, and today, Baruch Hashem, if you don't know the Mishneh Berurah, or the Chai Adam, or the Shulchan Aruch, there's so many English books. There are a plethora of great books on the Hilchas Shabbos. You can buy the Laws of Shabbos, Art Scroll, Feldheim, and Targum has. You can learn it. There's no reason not. Is that L'chayra Mipnei Hilchas Shabbos? The reason why there's a Shabbos in specific is because there's so many Rabbos Mefortas and different Halachas which affect Kol Tnuas Ha'adim Heichad Shu. All how we act, what we do, if you don't learn them well, Yavo Ba'al Korchach, Chas V'Shalom, a person will come to break the Shabbos. Yishmakom HaTosefes HaGosh of HaHavana B'Shosh HaYim. He wants to add on, to elaborate, just explain it. Lama Be'emes, why it's Miyucheles B'Shabbos, why specifically B'Shabbos, Mikol Mitzvah HaTorah, Shetzrichas Limud Aruch, especially Shabbos, the Lord of Shabbos, you gotta learn it well. Other areas, of course, you have to keep all of the Torah, but there's not this mandate that if you don't learn it, you're gonna transgress it. I'll tell you a story to explain it. Misuper Misafer Amar Esh, the work called Amar Esh, the Pillar of Fire, on the great Rameh Yeshua Leib Diskin. Yeshua Leib Diskin was famously the Rav of Brisk, Lithuania, which was one of the three great places of Torah in Lithuania. Lithuania was the Torah center of Europe for many years. There was Vilna, there was Kovna, Kaunas, and there was Brisk. Later, the Rav after the Maral Diskin was the Beis Halevi, Yosef Dev Stov Soloveitchik, and after, until the Holocaust, the Rabbanim and Brisk were Soloveitchiks. The Beis Halevi looked at the Maral Diskin as bigger than him. Before Brisk, he was a Rav in Lomja, and later, after Brisk, he was one of the Gedolei of Yerushalayim. He was passed away at the end of his life in Yerushalayim in the early 20th century. So, the Maral Diskin, when he was a Rav in Lomja, he said that the Tsar Nikolai I was a rabid anti-Semite, a Sinai Yisrael Shein Kamahu, who hated the fact that he had a huge Jewish population in Lithuania and primarily Ukraine, a little bit in Latvia and actually a lot of White Russia and Poland, but Poland was more independent for many reasons. So, just for historical context, Nikolai I was the one who did the Cantonist Decree, where he took little Jewish children and threw them into the army, most of them dying or forcibly converted. Russia, Marusha. But he had to deal with the Jews. So one time he was coming to Lomjo, a very Jewish town, city. V'echinu anshi ha'er kabos panim mechubedes l'kras karabel. All of them had to come out to greet the king. I assume this is the late 1840s, the early 1850s, just based on the Maral Diskin's life. And the head of the Jewish delegation was going to be Rabbi Saul Dubinsky. Now, before this day came out, Kishashivu Imrabenu Lisyaitz of Derech, he went to the Maral Diskin to ask him how to partake. What's the details? How we should greet Nikolai? Because you can't mess up. Right? He was a true Russia who hated the Jews and an all-powerful leader in Russia. So he was asked to strategize with Maral Diskin. Very often, by the way, they take out the Sefer Torah, not by choice, but they had to, even though it was usually take out Sefer Torah and the Shul for a stomach like in this area. And when it came to him, the Maral Diskin told this Jewish leader, the lay head of the Lomja Jewish community. Lomja was a big town. Agav Ha'ara Lefarnas, he gave him a piece of advice. He told him, when the Tsar comes, you don't go out to greet him. Let other people go. You shouldn't be at the head of the delegation. Now, he's the head of the community. He's a lay head. And he didn't want to do that. Yeah, part of the kibbutz ha'ara, he couldn't imagine himself nasi akhila, the head of the congregation, the lay head of this whole Jewish, many hundreds if not thousands of families of Lomja. He's the lay head. He's not going to be part of the Jewish delegation to greet Tsar Nikolai I. Kishaba Kaiser, when Tsar Nikolai I came. When he's torn the Jewish quarter of the town, the Kaiser decided to visit the Jewish hospital. By the way, we know the Jews got into the hospital business. First of all, the hospitals were Catholic in Poland, and right, that's what they were, Lithuania. Huge crosses, chaplains who were priests walking around. What was that one in San Jose? It was Catholic for many years. They were bought out. I forgot what it was. Good Samaritan? No, Good Samaritan. I forgot the name of the cat. O'Connor. O'Connor Hospital. Oh my goodness. I had to go there. I remember one time Mr. Kaiser. Good to eat. I know your opinion. I'm coming into Mr. Kaiser. I see these crosses all over the room there. I'm like thinking to myself. Not Catholic anymore, it's brought out from him correctly now. And I'm like, you can't dive in there. You have to close your head, move around. who is very uncomfortable, and Marys and all kinds of getchkas all around the whole place. Plus the fact that very often the care for Jews was more suspect. In America, by the way, in particular, there are issues, and that's why all these Mount Sinai schools in the 9th century opened up. It became a Jewish thing. Okay. Goes to Jewish Corner, and what's the hospital? Gets to the, and when he comes there, this Rusol Dubinsky, who the Maril Diskin told him not to go, leads him and gives him a tour of the hospital. B'shas HaBikur Ir, the Kaiser says, he looks at something in the building, the Jewish hospital, and criticizes it. And this is Rusol Dubinsky, his bird, no, this had to be this way, tells the Kaiser, excuse me, the Tsar, same thing, Kaiser Tsar, tells the Tsar. Kaiser, the Tsar, goes a few more feet, a few seconds later, and he points out another pegam, b'tichon abnia, the way the building was built. Rabbi Yisrael Chazer, the Rabbi Yisrael Dubinsky, says again, no, you understand, it's a good thing we did it this way. As he's talking, the Tsar's, defending the Tsar's people, take him and arrest him and throw him into jail. Why? Chay Kamalchus, the law of Russia, under the Romanovs, the Tsars, should mikra a Kaiser Motech Bukharas, if the Tsar comes for a visit, Moto Aish Shaklapov, Mufanas Abikuris, Lahoidis Pamitas Lavdir Shalika Yisukar. If the Tsar says this needs to improve, anyone rushes, yes sir, wow, thank you, you're so right. You don't argue with the Tsar. That's a way to get killed. You don't tell the Tsar, I know better than you. If the Tsar comes and visits, you say, Tsar, how brilliant you are. Tsar, you're absolutely great. You don't defend yourself. He told you, he criticized you. By the way, even in the tech world, right, or any kind, if you could call him a CEO, he starts criticizing you. Don't defend yourself and tell me he's wrong. Sugar. Call Shekinah, any Tsar, but this anti-Semite, you start telling him, they throw him in jail to kill him. Rabbi Yisrael Yada, this he had no idea of the etiquette. When the Tsar came and told him he was criticizing him, but Malkam Haskin Ladaito, instead of agreeing with the Tsar and praising him, no, he was no Dale Carnegie, Nisa Lashakno, he tried to sort of appease him, tells him it wasn't really criticism. So if Davar, Ragar Khashidulim Rabin, they had to really bribe and cajole, and he was freed from imprisonment and death. Kishinisha Rabbeinu Acher Zeh, when he went to the Maral Diskin, the great Rav, Golos, great Rav, he said, why did you tell him not to be the Tsar? How did you know this is going to happen? He said the following thing. I said, Chuvasu Maki Ani Osu Kishvasha. I know you sold Dubinsky. Maybe the layhead of Lubja. But he's a simple guy. He's a good man, but a simple guy. The Shi'arti Shi'ichshol Bo'oyme Lefnega Kaiser. And I estimated that if he's in front of the Tsar, he will mess up. He'll make some serious mistakes. V'ha'ainu shegam ish mechubar v'nasa panim. Even a good person, a nice guy, a respectable person, k'shomofia v'oymer l'fnei ha'melech, when you're in front of the king, im ena melumad, if you don't know the etiquette, you don't know the mannerisms, you don't know the way you're supposed to behave, you're going to make mistakes. Certainly in some things. Right? You don't know how you're supposed to act. You're going to make mistakes. If you go to a foreign country, you don't know the laws of driving there. You're going to make mistakes. If you're in front of a king with all kinds of rules, so the marshal, of course, is you and I on Shabbos. We're in front of Hashem. You don't know Shulchan Aruch. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make errors. And like the Tsar, Hashem is an anti-Semite, Baruch Hashem. He loves us dearly, but there's rules of Shabbos, and you got to keep them. With Saprim, that they say over the Chavetz Chaim, the great Chavetz Chaim, talked about the great Rav Shlomo Kohn of Mivilna, who was a contemporary of his, known as the Cheshek Shmuel. Rav Shlomo Kohn was one of the great Dayanim of Vilna. He said about Rosh Shlomo Kohen of Vilna, Shem Haya Abes HaMignash Nivna B'yam. Now remember one thing. Rosh Shlomo Kohen was a Kohen, right? A Kohen. The Chavetz Chaim famously was a Kohen. And the Chavetz Chaim, by the way, was a Kohen who pushed for the studies of the laws of the building of Beis Hamikdash, of the service of Beis Hamikdash, Kachim. He had a Kachim Koilol, which they learn all about this. He said about Rosh Shlomo Kohen that if the Beis Hamikdash would be built, Rosh Shlomo Kohen would be ready day one to offer all the sacrifices, do the kamitzas, the removal, all of the law, all of the light in the Beis Hamikdash that Kohen would have to do, because he knew it really well. Mahaynu, Dima, the fact that Rosh Shlomo Kohen knew all of Trefus, all the laws of what's kosher fowl and animals, which was very important in those days, because everybody owns animals. Well, there's no meal mart or empire or any of that. You had your chickens and you brought it, and everyone had to be familiar, you had to ask a rav, or Erevin. He wasn't a Chesh Chavetz Chaim. But the Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash, which is very challenging, there's not a lot on, So why was it so hard? Because first of all, nobody does the laws of Beis HaMikdash. We haven't done the Aveda for 2,000 years in the Beis HaMikdash. So people don't learn it. You don't learn in Yeshiva how to offer a korban and what thoughts to have and all the details. And by the way, Kachim is very, very hard for that reason. It's very hard because guess what? There are very little Rishonim, right? There's no, of the Rambans, Rajbas, there's very little of that. Because it wasn't learned as much in the yeshivas because it's not pertinent today. It's not germane today. It's also very challenging to be fluent in it because, listen to this, when you're serving the Beis HaMikdash, remember, it's like Shabbos. The way the Beis HaMikdash, remember a couple weeks ago we discussed this, and 3 weeks ago, is like Shabbos is a din of Beis HaMikdash. So just like Shabbos has so many halachas, and they're very, very, they're nuanced. Why is Shabbos so nuanced? Because when you're in front of the King of Kings, in front of Hashem, every mannerism, every movement is important. Right? How you walk and how you talk. What you move on Shabbos, how you eat on Shabbos, if you prepare food on Shabbos, what you carry on Shabbos, it's all halachas because you're in front of Hashem. Similarly, the Beis HaMikdash, you're always in front of Hashem. There's so many details of the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because you're in front of Hashem. By day Zet Seer, we know about Shabbos. On Shabbos, Oyme Lifnei HaMelech. Shem Rabin V'amukim, there's lots of laws. And if you don't learn Shabbos, a person will for sure stumble. I just want to just give a suggestion. If for some reason you don't have time during the week, you should have a sefer that you do every meal on Shabbos at your table. Shabbos kitchen, if you want to learn. There's a great book or other books are like Simcha Bunim Kohen. Yeah, read it at your Shabbos table. If you have guests, read it out loud. Share with them. And I do it at my table. It takes 2 minutes. 2 minutes, you do a book on Shabbos. My wife is with my kids. They should learn the laws of Shabbos. You know, it happens to right now, I'm learning Shabbos, so I'm doing it. That's to be one of my siddurim now. So I'm doing it, but when I'm not, I rely on the fact that I do it on Shabbos and I have to, whenever possible, whatever, stuff like that. So many great books. Do it at the table. If you don't have time during the week, every meal on Shabbos, learn Hilcha Shabbos. That's why you built it into your week. One of my favorite books, a little more detailed, but an excellent book, Rabbi Ribiat's 39 Malachas book, Feldheim. Amazing book. You go through that over time, person familiarizes. He makes a little horror here. He says, V'ali Deze, by the way, the habit is unique by Shabbos, but there's one other halachas which are similar, even though it's not nearly as severe, it's not Oymer Lefnei HaMelech, but it's similar. V'al Derech Zeh, Yish Tefarsh, Es Divrei HaGemara, which you can explain the Gemara, The Talmud says in Brachas, Lamed Hey, that a person eats anything in this world, eat anything, you don't make a bracha. It's Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah, of course, is the laws of the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, if you're using improperly. It's Mi'ilah. So too, if you take from Hashem's world, eat a fruit, take a drink of orange juice, you have a Greek yogurt, a donut, whatever it may be, if you don't make a bracha, it's like you stole from Hashem. Hashem's world, you ate without permission. And let's say you don't know the bracha, so you can't do it. Says the Talmud, Maitakante, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Eikara, go before you get the food, go learn brachas. Vilamdenu Halchas Brachas, I'll teach you the laws of brachas. Shelo yavo lidei mi'ila. You shouldn't come to stealing from Hashem's world. You learn the brachas. Now he says, Rav Pinkus, you know, lo matzino brachas acheres. Nowhere else does it say specifically, go to a chacham, go to a rav, to teach it to you. You should have a lesson in this. Now today, Baruch Hashem, also, there are obviously the Mishnah Berurah, and the Halacha, there's many Hebrew books for modern day foods, which are way more complex because they're mixtures and all kinds of stuff like that. There's plenty of English books, but the art school has a book by Rabbi Pinchas Bodner, an excellent book. I used to sit next to him in Lakewood when I was in the yeshiva there. And Feldman has a book by Rabbi Forrest, also Talmud Chochman for Rockaway. I used to see him once in a while, many, many years ago. Also, excellent book. And you can learn very easy, but if you don't have it, you go to a Rav. Before you have it, it says, why does it say that anywhere else? V'lam no never to kind of do dafka hilchas brachas. Go to a chacham and ask. Elabashir brachas are also very critical because every time, everything you eat, or you smell things, or you see a rainbow, or an earthquake, by the way, obviously we're not talking, you know, Los Angeles, it's a lot of tefillahs right now, and that's getting close to some very Jewish neighborhoods. Right, they're smelling, you know, it's shreklach. I'm just thinking about, why am I thinking of Los Angeles? See, that smell just came into my head because you can smell smoke wherever you are right there right now. You know, it's also a connection that everything you do in this world, you have to connect to Hashem. Brachas you say all the time. You say brachas, you know, things all around you. If you know the brachas very well, connects you to Hashem. Chazal, our sages, instituted, say, 100 brachas a day, mostly taken up by Shmon Esrei. The 3 Shmon Esrei a day, and other brachas, the 15 in the make books in the morning, to connect you to Hashem. And therefore, you get the Shechina from it. You have the Chol Shav and Shalom, you eat, you go to the bathroom, you do all kinds of things. If you don't know brachas, you better go to a big gadol. Even today, I'll give you an example. I had a lunch meeting. For whatever reason, they wanted to be in a fleishik place, to me, this fleishik place is very greasy. I don't eat greasy foods. And the grilled chickens that it comes with fries. I don't want to be tempted by french fries. So, you know, I said, I'm not going there. I ended up getting a poke bowl. They have sushi, the fleishik section. And they have a sushi section. This is a place I usually don't go. It's a smaller place, but it's in the business area. So I got a sushi. So I took, also I said, give me a cookie. Got a drink, sushi, cookie. Now I'm not a cookie guy. The guy said to me, you like cookies? I said, no, I'm not just a cooking person. But I said, a sushi is a bracha shayla. It's pasha to me, it's a bracha shayla. Why is it a bracha shayla? Because when you order sushi, you want the rice, and you want the fish, or the vegetables, whatever it is. And there's no rov, there's no majority, and you want both of them. And the question, is it mixed? So I told the person, I got it with salmon and tuna. I got a cookie to make a mezonos with a cookie, a shahako on my drink, and I will exempt the sushi. I can tell you, many people make a bracha on sushi. They don't even thought about it. They don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying the bracha levatola because it could be they could rely on that bracha. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I'm telling you, it's a little pashut. The guy next to me got a wrap. A wrap? A wrap? Is it a maitzi? Is it mezainus? If it's mezainus, is it one bracha? Is it two brachas? What kinds of questions? I tell you what to do. Ask for Rabbi Leibowitz if you're in San Jose or someone else. If you want, you can ask me also. I'm just telling you. These are all questions. And here we are. The guy I was eating with today, there was actually a few people in the meeting. Bnei Torah, good people. But if you don't know the laws of brachas, you gotta make mistakes. By the way, there are multiple things of wraps. The person falls on them, I'm not saying. I personally will never make a bracha on a wrap. I don't think I made a bracha for a wrap. I only will have a wrap if I have a moitzi, and I make a moitzi on the bread. I'm not saying that person has to do that, but there are big, lots of different opinions. But the point is, if you don't know brachas, it's complex. You eat cereals today. Some are mezainus, some are shahako, some are adama. Right? By the way, I think the Star K, I believe the Star K, has a list of cereals, what bracha they make. What's my point? What's his point? Is that bracha is also, albeit the severity, is not as much as Shabbos or the Beis HaMikdash, something you connect to Hashem with. You better know the halachas. Don't live life, right? There's so many people who want to be spiritual, they want to connect to Hashem, they don't know how to. We're a Yid, a Jew, we're the luckiest people in the world. Our whole life is connecting to Hashem. Our whole life is meaningful. Our whole life is a preparation for eternity. And this world itself is an amazing opportunity to connect to Hashem. But if you want, it's not just being wanting to connect to Hashem. You have to know how to do it. Halacha is really an important part of it. So brachas, you want to eat, you want to smell, you want to thank Hashem, know how to do it. Shabbos, it's amplified. Shabbos, ro'ayim lefnei ha-melech. Shabbos, if we have to learn Hilchos Shabbos, just like that, otherwise we're just like that fool who goes in front of the Tsar thinking we know how to act and making serious mistakes. There are people who break the laws of Shabbos looking at the mitzvahs, I'm telling you, they mean very well, but they don't know they don't know the etiquette of Shabbos, and it's not just the etiquette, it's the Hilchos Shabbos. The truth is, I wanted to do a little part of the Hakdamah, introduction, which is pertinent to this, but I don't think I'm going to hold because I'm losing my voice, what's left of it. I believe I have it. So if you look on my website, something Torah.org, the Hakdama to Mishnah Berurah. But I just want to end, because next week, it's a very different topic. It's about Oinig Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, the foods we eat, the singing we do, things that sort of just really end us. But I just want to end, by side, I want to just tell you, if you learn Hilchos Shabbos, even for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes at your suddas, you will change your olam hazeh, and you will change your olam haba. You will be better people in front of Hashem. Our Shabbos will be halig, will be holier. It's a tremendous thing to do. And it's a message for me, and it's a message for you, especially for everyone listening. And with the Chavetz Chaim quotes of Yonatan Eibshetz, he means it. If you don't learn the laws of Shabbos, you break it. And we've been learning Shabbos for many months. And one thing we all know is we don't want to break the Shabbos. We want to keep the Shabbos. And it's because of learning Hilchos Shabbos, we should be zeicha that our Shabbos should bring us and the Jewish people much bracha. Okay? We wish you a good Shabbos. You should hear good things from us.